Memory Chazal, just a little bit more. Oh, no, did we finish? Maybe give me one moment to... then we did finish. Okay, we did some. Okay, we're up to... in one moment to... Yeah, we finished. So what's going on with the Chidah? The Chidah, Pasuk Tez, Rav, and then we'll look a little bit in the Chashai. We'll glance through it. It's on page 885. Page 885, the Chidah says, Page 885. Is that the only Chidah here? It looks like. Okay, v'loy echad asa, v'efshad hachni perushish, v'loy echad asa, perush, me'ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu hu zivuk shalachem, shiduchim abashert, v'yim tisratze b'zivuk ze hanishar, meharuach shloy nosan l'ishtoy lo yiye. And if you will be tisratze, v'zivuk in this zivuk, then hanishar meharuach shloy nosan l'ishtoy, what is nishar from the ruach that Hashem shaloi nosam that Hashem did not give to your wife lo yiyeh ach im acheres yikach lo yitzoch lo seis oid meiruchoy lo acheres will have to give from his ruchoy lo acheres to the via rishona shalei ruchoy begavo ki yadua vizeo shenemar vishol ruach loy. I have no idea what this means, but I think the gist of what he's saying over here is that Kabbalistically, if a person marries who he's supposed to marry, then Hashem gives him everything that he's supposed to get. Somehow, what is meant for a person, this is a principle that you hear people talk about in different forms, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first as a mazel. There are people that are very successful. There are people that are not so successful. But let's talk about people that are successful. Their success cannot begin until they're married. There is, Hashem creates a person, he puts him into the world of a person, and his ability to succeed is withheld until he gets married. When he gets married, his wife is his other half, is his better part, and with her comes what is really meant for him. Not just the fact that he's married to her, it's a shleimus which allows them to succeed in this world. If he ends up marrying the wrong person, he takes a non-Jewish woman, the wrong person means he marries a non-Jewish woman, then the blessing that is supposed to come to him is not going to come. Instead, it will be given to somebody else. Someone else will chap what was meant for him. Read the words over time, and again, I don't really understand what it means, but he writes, Efsha. The Hachi Perush V'loy Echad Asa Perush Me'ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zivug Shelochem V'im Tisratze B'Zivug Ze. If a person accepts to marry the woman that he's supposed to marry, it makes logical sense for him to marry, he's presented with a Zivug and he marries her. Let's talk about it in very raw terms. He marries a Jewish woman. He doesn't marry a Gentile because it's definitely not meant for him to marry a non-Jewish woman. Then, if he does what he is supposed to do, Hanishar meharuach shaloi nosan shaloi nosan leishroi. What is missing from his spirit? Shaloi nosan leishroi. Lo yihyeh. It will be his. Okay, I'm not sure really what that means. Ach im acheres hikachloi. And he takes a non-Jewish woman. Sarich lo says od meruchoy lo acheres. Then Hashem will have to give from his ruach to a different person. And then he goes on to say some other concept, which I don't know what this means. Zer shama v'shar ruach loy. Whatever is missing will come to him. V'nishmatem beruchachem she'etzlav v'yivkoy v'esh nurim. Go back to the pasuk. V'loy echad asa. Hashem did not create the principle of shiduchim, that this is kasher for whom you are to marry. And if you do what you're supposed to marry, ushor ruach loy. Whatever you're missing when you come into this world will not be complete. You ultimately get it through your wife. The ruach here means, let's just translate very loosely, your mazel. But if you marry a woman that you're not supposed to marry, then the shor ruach
the your mazel is not going to go to you. It's going to go to somebody else. They always say this they talk about this type of idea. I have what it means. But a person, you see people, they first begin to succeed only after they get married. The mazel comes from the wife. But that's provided you marry the right wife. If a person marries the wrong wife, then the mazel that he is supposed to get, the blessing that's meant for him, is going to go and channel to the wrong, to another person. Oh, he's going to lose out.
Well, that's a problem with the saying of Avraham Avinu called Yetzirah Sablah.
That's what is it not born from the young serious of lie? I mean, okay, these are all very mysterious.
Yeah, I mean that's why. There are problems either way. But what the Abravanel explains in Poketa Bonobos Albonin is that if you have, let's say, a tzaddik in Russia, he won't suffer for his father, Ishmael Mosu, of course. But down the line, if there's somebody who is another Russia, the payback will be to that person, and it will keep skipping. It'll keep skipping until it gets to somebody who deserves to be punished. So that's
and he'll
who
get
is
the
going
punishment
to suffer from your chatoy.
That's the idea, provided that you're their influence. That oydeg b'maaseh avoseihem. It's your influence that caused them to sin. Yeah, these are all very Kabbalistic things.
I mean,
the chida, you know, kedarka is saying over here something is very mystical, and that's what that chida does very often. Okay, now let's take a look over here. Let's take a look over here at the Michashai. Okay, now I didn't prepare the Michashai, and I'm not. Michashai is usually very, very technical. So we'll just run through. We'll get bored. We'll get confused. Then we'll call it quits.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So Michashai goes back to pasuk Yudalit. Bogadita bo. You have betrayed your wife. So it says here,
where is this?
This is on page 882. On page 882, we're learning here the Minchashai, Bogadita.
Now
the Minchashai says, and we're all very well aware, his specialty is Girsois. His specialty is grammar and Girsois. I guess there are different manuscripts, exactly what is the exact text. Over the long years of Golos, there's been a lot of errors have crept into the text, and he's the guardian. The Minchashai is one of the strongest guardians of the text to guarantee that we have the Mesoira, the words are exactly correct. So it starts over here, starts with the word Bogadita Bo, and our word Bogadita in our text has a hey at the end, and he writes the Dfus Yoshin Bogadita Bo hey, the Ein Loch L'Sholov, reject it, okay? He says over here that's a toast, in this Dfus Yoshin that says the Adah hey that is wrong. The correct Messiah is with a hey. Okay, next. We turn the page to Mo'echot. Now page 84, Mo'echot. Mavakesh Zer Elokim. The other Sotir Gim, Mo'echad Boy Elohim, Di Yiskayam Lei, The Lord Min Kodem Hashem. Echot here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to exist. And everyone came from Adam HaRishon. The Chosav Rashi Shapir Shmochayim, and this is correct. Okay, one more time. Mo Chad Boi. What does the One want? Elohim. What does Hashem want from you? Di Yiskayam Lei Volod Min Kodom Hashem. Hashem wants you to have children. Okay, that's the Zera. Mo Chad Boi Elohim. Di maybe the Chodom refers to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, what did he want? He wanted to have children. When he married Hagar, he did not marry Hagar to satisfy his taiva. He married Hagar l'shem Shemayim to have children. The Chosav Rashi, Sha'apeirush Nochon, this is correct. Now, we just pointed over here is Mo'ho Echad Mevakesh. So, according to the Targum Minasim Zeal, there is a problem. Because he is taking three words and grouping them together. Umo hoechad mevakesh. What did Avraham Avinu desire in when he married Hagar? The word mevakesh is connected to the word hoechad. So he's saying, is that really correct? Look at the Tami HaMikra. The word hoechad has a zokef katon, which means you're supposed to put a break.
So you cannot connect the word mevakei zera Elohim together with the word lechad. Noisek, the word lechad with the zokev katon, noisek, it breaks, it separates, as if that's mevakei shmo v'shaber in mo lechad. Usmochu eitzel zera Elohim, atkan. Gam lefer sham leyo shehevi achakach rashi zal ime al derech ha'kfanim. Also, it doesn't make sense. Everyone is basically put together the word mevakeish and the word mo'echad. Afu b'derech ha'tagim, v'ein zeh min ha'koshi, it's not a kasha. Because, see, Rashi, this is Rashi is telling us a very powerful principle. This is a valuable thing he's saying over here. That whenever a medrash, whenever you have a medrash is not subject to the Tamei HaMikra. That's a very important principle. When the medrash says something, it is not subject to follow the Tamei HaMikra. It can put words together that do not belong together according to the Tamei HaMikra. However, this is important, Targum is subject to follow the rules of the Tamei HaMikra. So in the Targum, even the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel, who has a reputation of going off the beaten track and injecting, embellishing the text with a lot of commentary that's really taken drawn from the Medrash, the Targum Yonason, must, I guess those are his own rules, the Targum Yonason, he must adhere to the Mesorah and follow the Tamei HaMikra and break the sentence in the proper location based upon the Mesorah of the Tamei HaMikra. A drash, a medrash, is not bound to follow those rules. So that itself is a very beautiful principle. That itself is a very beautiful principle. So clearly, is it's not a problem, because when you have a medrash, ach derech hatargum. Don't leave, Mr. Cohen. That's not a problem. Ach derech hatargum. The ein zemin hakoyish derech hadrash lizroish al ponim rabin. Av al pish sheinam kisei debalat ha'amin. Ulemeidin the ein machine. You learn. And don't ask questions on a drash, even though it's not lufi the seder hatamim. But the targum Rashi is critical because the targum has to follow the Tamei HaMikra. Now v'loy v'ta'amim v'lbari ala afi likudas v'isiyos k'mo sh'dorshu b'perik imendim pasik ha'sishkach isha ulo shu b'shuruk ומאפיק מאולו בחולון כשהוא רואה נשאו בזליפיה מאפיק מודס על מרמחים ולא שפדר רחם ולראיש יש פרעבי רבי דור שפוסק ישכחי רחם מיני רחמונס he goes through a whole bunch of this, jump through all these things over here, we're not going to leave it to the Pasuk, and go to the next paragraph. But the point of view is saying there's another principle, that a drash, a medrash, is entitled to exchange the vowels. Even though in the Pasuk there is a chirik, it can put a patach.
In other words, it looks at the letters. Less.
Right.
And
Tamei HaMikra less.
Yes.
It looks at the drash, whenever she takes the letters, it makes believe there is no dots and there are no Tamei HaMikra, and it expounds based upon its own set of rules and comes up with a whole homily. However, the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel, he can say some very advanced and agadic ideas, but he is bound to follow the dots, the vowels, and to follow the Tamei HaMikra as to where to make a break in the pasuk.
Okay, so that's a self-imposed.
Yes, because that's a self-imposed rule. That's what he said. He's saying that the Mincha Shai is saying from his analysis. His analysis of the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel, he always follows the rules. He follows the vowels, he follows the Tamei HaMikra. So therefore Rashi is correct. When Rashi is critical of the Yonason Ben Uziel, you've broken your own rule. Here we have the Tamei HaMikra put the two words Moho Echad together in one shot, period. And then the Vakei Zera Kim is separate, and he has broken the rule of connecting Moho Echad with the word Mevakesh. That is a no-no. Oh, but the Medrash does the same exact thing. That's in fact the next words of Rashi. That's not a kasha. The Medrash can do whatever he wants. The Medrash has a different set of rules. There are no rules. The Medrash is entitled to break the rules of the to now have its own.
Rule.
They're very, but the rules are very loose. They're very different. There's
I know,
no.
I know there are 32 rules, but I haven't studied.
Of the Medrash. Okay, so this is a very, this itself is a very fascinating idea. Now the next paragraph goes to the next paragraph. Okay, we're not going to go through these gemaras, will take forever. Okay, I'm just jumping down. Okay, let's go to the next page. Okay, and then I'm just going to Beresh Rabba. He's giving more examples. Okay, got all these things over here. Perish Ali Yavon, okay, all different examples. Wow, just close to so many examples. Okay, Perish Darshan, he's giving examples of Midrashim. Of Midrashim that break all the rules with Nikud. And he's quoting from all the different types of Midrashim. Sheikh Hatayi quotes from. Okay, if you know this, what it says over here, you know Kol Torah Kula. Imamish goes through every single drasha. It's unbelievable how he goes through every single drasha. And why is he doing this? I don't know why he's doing this. What's the purpose of doing this? I don't know why he's doing this. I really don't know why.
I guess he felt it was a problem with the shot.
Yeah, but he's just giving examples. He's going through the whole Torah giving you examples of where we're taking words. Just going through like 100 examples of where
right. Of where
the Gemara or Medrash, the Gemara was Kosher Medrash is ignoring the vowels. Al Tikrei Zeh. Don't read the pasuk with these really good vowels.
The Talma Mafsik is also suspended. What the Gemara gives a great example from Parshas Baaloska when it says because it was Hillel who darshan the pasuk very differently. When it said how did Hillel become the nasi because they didn't, nobody knew what to do when Erev Pesach came out on Shabbos, right? So he darshan the pasuk v'yasu b'nei Yisrael et ha'posak v'moaz go. However, he said the next pasuk begins v'arbo asayom b'chodesh hazeh. So he said ignore the end of the pasuk v'moaz go. It's v'yasu b'nei Yisrael et ha'posak v'moaz go v'arbo asayom b'chodesh. That's how you read the pasuk.
Okay, so here he gives over here 100 examples of where Chazal ignore The Nikud was given to us in the soil. It was given to us at Har Sinai exactly which dots to put into the text. I once mentioned this idea to you. Okay, I'll just tell you, repeat the idea before you go. The idea is that according to how Maker HaDeim, it is categorically forbidden to put in writing Torah Shebaal Peh.
Right.
This entire bookcase here is a violation of an Isser Deraisa. Al pi chadvarim ha'ele korachi itchem bris. Chazal darshin that al pi dvarim shebal peh, it ma'iyah Torah shali kosev. Anything that's Torah shebal peh is not allowed to be put in writing. It has to be transmitted from Rebbe to Talmud. It has to be memorized, and the only thing that is put in writing is chamishin chum she Torah. And the Divrei Nevi'im Ksuvim. That's it, 24 books. There are 24 books in the Jewish library, nothing more. Go to someone's home, you can fit the whole Torah in one little volume, a Tanakh. That is the only thing that you're allowed to have.
Malachi is one of them?
What? Yes, Ksuvim, certainly. Ksuvim is there are 24 books of Tanakh. And Malachi
was written with Nekudos?
No, it was not written with Nekudos. No,
nothing was written.
The Nekudos is tradition. The Nekudos is part of the tradition of the Mesorah. We are given a tradition of how to read the words. And likewise for Chumash as well. How do you know that it's Bereshis? Maybe it's Barshis. Maybe it's Beroshis. How do you know that the first word in the Torah is Bereshis? Doesn't say any Nekudos.
Right.
This is Torah Shebaal Peh. It was transmitted to us. We in our Chumashim, when we put the dots, Bereshis, the dot, the one dot, that is already a violation of Torah law. According to the Torah, anything that is Torah Shebaal Peh is not allowed to be put in writing. Mishnayis is aser, Gemara is aser, Shulchan Aruch is Osir. Rashi is Osir. Every single thing that's put in writing is categorically forbidden, including the Das. The Das is also Torah Sheh Bal Peh, how to read it, Bereishis, it's Osir. So why then are we so proud of our violation of Halacha, of putting everything in print? It's because of another principle called Eis Lasos LaHashem Heferu Torosecha. Man has weakened. The ability of man has diminished. The mental koichos of man has been severely diminished. If we are not permitted to put things in writing, then we can just throw in the towel, we can give up. Judaism would come to an end in a moment. So Chazal came. Forgotten, I mean, you couldn't exist. You could figure out how you're gonna learn Torah. How is that? I think it would be impossible. So they said, because we have no choice, the Torah in fact gave us permission. The Torah gave us permission to null, to cancel, basically not to observe any mitzvah that Chazal didn't fit in order to preserve for the long run the ends justify the means. We're gonna need violation in order that the Torah will be preserved. And that's a very, very dangerous principle, because people will come along today, and they have come along today, conservative movement reform, and they'll say, well, today, you know, if you're not going to drive to shul, then people are not going to daven on Shabbos. So let's forget about Chil Shabbos. We'll forget about that. You're allowed to get in the car and drive to shul, come to shul. That way you'll know that you're Jewish. You will preserve the Judaism, you read the Torah, you have a bar mitzvah, you come to shul, it's worth it. Eis, lasos la'Hashem, heferu Torasecha. That's exactly what they do, the conservative movement. And that is the greatest crime to humanity. Because no one today in our generation has any right to exercise that principle. The ones that were given the power to exercise this principle were the people who lived 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, they were... How do we have a right to say that? I don't know, but that's how it is. Okay, that's part of our tradition.
So 2,000 years ago, basically, you must have had photographic memories of
those. Not necessarily.
Very few people.
I don't know if everyone had a photographic memory. People had enough. Or maybe in society, we do find the time of the Gemara, there were two groups of people. There were people that literally appeared to be thoroughly ignorant. They didn't even know how to read. And then there were people who knew everything. Who knew there was nothing, there was no secret in the world that was denied from them.
But they also had specialists.
They had specialists in time of Chazal, also. You had enough. Klal Yisrael had enough people. There was enough around of people that were exceptional, that it wasn't. So if a person was not able to learn Torah because he's not allowed to write things down, it's okay. So you be whatever you are. You'll be enough for you to satisfy yourself. If you would be able to write things down, you would have been a greater person. Okay, it's painful, but that's how it is. And you don't have to worry about Klal Yisrael, because there was enough people in Klal Yisrael who would maintain the nation on a very high level of Torah Yerushalayim. We had trickled down effect to some degree, but as time passed on, there weren't people like that anymore. And it was clear as day that if we're not going to be able now to put Torah, Shalom Peh, in writing, then Judaism would come to an end. So they exercised this secret weapon.
Emergency powers, exactly.
Eis lasos la'Hashem heferu Torasecha. They gave permission that Torah should be put in writing. And that includes the Mishnayos and the Gemara and putting the Kudos and the Chumashim. And everything was put right. Everything was permitted. Now, you'll say, also, why can't we today in the year 2021, why can't we do the same thing? You can't. Okay, that's self-understood. You want to go into the exact details why a rabbi today can't come along today and say, you know what, let's cancel Shabbos observance so that people can go to shul. We should permit everyone to drive to shul on Shabbos. Why can't the rabbis today do that the same way the rabbis 2,000 years ago canceled the halacha of Eis Lasa?
Because it's already 2,000 years later. Right?
So what? So why?
Because the conservatives, we're more enlightened. We know
word.
You know, Agaf is
the... They thought, you know, we're so much more enlightened and more educated, and therefore, you know, we're in a position to improve upon, you know, what they did, what they
look,
did.
You'll make an argument, you'll boil HaShoyv HaShoy Yiyyeh Ba'yomim Mohen. Ein L'chol HaMashoyv HaShoyv Yomecha. You can make a lot of good arguments,
right.
But the bottom line is, you can't. That's the bottom line. How are you going to define in words why you can't? I don't really know.
But
you can't. You can't.
Right.
What?
Well, that's why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he wrote various versions of the Mishnayos because he wanted you still to need a Rebbe to tell you what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not clear about all these halachas. That's why you needed Rashi. Who said no, and then the Gemara ran into the same problems, and the Mishnayos wasn't enough. People still didn't know what they were talking about. And so they wrote a Gemara, and then there was a parish on the Gemara, and it just kept getting worse and worse. But that's why what the cross says, he darshes the pasuk, sov zosi karomba sefer, however, the simba is ne Yoshua. Don't write it, you know, write down the words that I told you, but you talk, you whisper it in his ear, and not, you know, don't write the dots, and don't write, this is what he darshes the pasuk. So that's, you know. You still have to govern what you write. Don't be too clear, because we still need a group discussion. Why are we here? We're discussing things. That's the point. We still don't understand what we're reading with the dots and with the truck and all that. We still don't know.
Being Orthodox Jew, there are certain unwritten rules that are just self-evident.
Somebody gave me for my shul a 3-page paper from a conservative rabbi. Udarshan Lo Sabashel Gedi Bachalevi Mo, and it was a very well written article. And a guy showed it to me because I mentioned something in Shul about how we read this pasuk and this way it is. So he showed me some local conservative rabbi in the island wrote a paper extrapolating from Lo Sabashel Gedi Mo that the halachas of kashrus are not the way we perceive it today. And it was a well-written article, but I hear what you're saying, but he can't do that. I mean, that's it. The people,
the bottom line,
what
is
I'm repeating is from a different generation where they had license to do it.
Chazal say, what was the entrance exam to be a member of Sanhedrin? You had to prove 49 reasons why it's permitted to eat chazer. Pig is permitted. Why is pig permitted? Present 49 compelling reasons to prove to the Sanhedrin why it's permitted to eat chazer. And you'll be able to, unbelievable, it's compelling, your arguments. The bottom line is, okay, the bottom line is, are you allowed to eat chazer? The bottom line is, you're not. After everything is said and done, you're not allowed to eat chazer. Even though you can prove with brilliant, compelling arguments that it's permitted. You can be very big chacham, but at the end of the day, there's a certain, there's a mesorah, there's a tradition. This is correct, and that is how it is. This principle that today there is no one alive, there is no body of rabbis today that have permission in any form to deviate and to abuse the concept of Eis Laseis LaHashem Heferu Torasecha, that is accepted, it's self-evident in Orthodox Jewry.
On the fringe.
So then,
Maaseh, there is no by writing, there is no hafara shel Torah. The Torah should be al peh, al pi advarim haele. So the halacha is
not allowed to do it.
So Chazal can say, okay. So sometimes you are allowed to do it, but hafara, like you say. It's against the Torah that you're not allowed to. But Chazal can cancel their saying.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
That's what they call Hora'at Sha'ah. it's the same thing. The Shah can be
but there's no Hara. It's a halacha. The halacha is you're not allowed to put Torah in writing. That's the bottom line.
Right.
So to go allow it, but to put something in writing is a hafara. That is a hafara. You differentiate between two different hafaras. You're going against, you're saying that this is not such a terrible violation because you're not annulling the Torah. You're just putting it in writing. You're suggesting that this, if you go and you say, today we can eat chazen. So that's a hafara of the Torah, because the Torah says you can't. Here, we're not being made for the Torah, we're putting it in writing. But you can argue that it doesn't make a difference. It's a halacha. The halacha is you're not al pi hadvarim. It's a gemara, very sure, al pi hadvarim. It's a b'shurash halacha. Right, Torah Shabbat cannot be put in writing.
Chazal can say, okay,
they can't.
But
that's a hafara. That's no different than saying you can eat chazer. Because the halacha is, the bottom line is, even though we're not going against the Torah in principle, in concept, and in emunah, but the Torah says, al pi ha-devarim ho'ela, which Chazal expound, devarim she-bal peh, you are forbidden to put in writing. And here they came up, no, you can do it. They are violating a law in one of the Taryag mitzvahs. There is an outright violation. How could you do that? Because there's a special weapon they have. Eis lasais. If they make a determination that Judaism will come to an end if we continue to observe this mitzvah, then we are entitled to tell the Jewish people, this mitzvah you can violate. That's a shocking thing. It's just beyond belief. What a shock this is. So how come rabbis today in the 21st century can't do the same thing? Where does it say they can't? It doesn't say they can't, but they can't. That's the bottom line. It's self-evident. And see, that's the problem today. The problem is when you don't have something in writing, when you don't have, do whatever you want. Where does it say you can't do it? Look what's happening in the country. They are people that are trying to change the character of what America is. We're trying to change the character. And we could do it. Where does it say in the Constitution? It doesn't say. But there are certain self-evident facts, right? But it doesn't say. So
what happened to the corona? What happened to the corona? You said stay home and don't daven in minyan. Stay home.
Well, that's part of the Torah. That's halacha. That's pikuach nefesh. That's not hayferu. That's halacha. Ein davar oimei b'nei pikuach nefesh. That's mamish halacha. Halacha tells you that you know, when there's a sakana, this is mamish halacha. That v'chaybohem, v'lo shayamos bohem. Batel Shabbos achas kidei sheyishmu Shabbos es harbe.
There was no bitl of Shabbos. There was only a bitl of a minyan.
Okay, whatever, but that's halacha. That's not a bitl. That's halacha. Over here, Chazal, you talk about the conservative movement. What was the big thing of the conservative movement? Most of their people lived in the suburbs, and there's really no way for them to get to shul on Shabbos unless they drive.
It's not a religious movement. It's a sociological movement.
They couldn't get to shul on Shabbos unless they drive. So they said, you know what? Eis lasais. Eis lasais. If they're not going to come to shul, the end's going to be they're all going to be gone. They're all going to intermarry, this. So you know what? Eis lasais, you can drive to shul on Shabbos.
And look how that turned out.
And it didn't turn out too well. So they can argue, look, if the rabbis 2,000 years ago said that you're allowed to put Torah Shebal Peh in writing, so why would judge? So ein lecha ela ma'ase b'yamecha. We're the judges of this generation, and we're going to decide that you can be mechal Shabbos. You can't do that. You can't do that. You cannot do that. No way. There's no. You cannot do. Why not? Where does it say I can't? Because you can't. If you don't want to, accept that principle, then you're just not part of. You're not part of Klal Yisrael. You're becoming your own religion. Oh, but where does it say you can't do it? You know, I don't know where it says. But there are certain self-evident facts and beliefs. That this is not everything in Orthodoxy is written down.
there are certain things you just don't. I always tell you the example. Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch that Erev Yom Kippur, you should not go to a casino and have fun in a casino Erev Yom Kippur? Let's go. We'll go to Atlantic City. We have enough time. We'll be back. We'll according to Al-Kat, we have a bus going back. We'll make it back for Kol Nidre. 10 minutes. The bus will come back 10 minutes before Kol Nidre. We'll quickly go and go to shul.
10% of the proceeds go.
Are you allowed to go to Atlantic City Erev Yom Kippur? Why not? Where does it say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, in Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Zoyar, Nigli, Nister, that you should not go to Atlantic City Erev Yom Kippur and have a good time?
There has to be room for
Seifa. It doesn't say it anywhere. So go. So Gesundheit, you want to go. Does that make sense? Not everything is in writing. This principle of taking advantage of Eitz La'aseh La'Hashem today, it's criminal. It's criminal. It's just not accepted. And people who do want to do it, so we can't force anyone. That's one thing that we learned this last year. I never appreciated what it means the beauty of a country of freedom. Never had such appreciation what it means, the bracha of living in a country where you have freedom. Don't tell people what to do. It doesn't work. It doesn't work when you control people. You want to do it? Okay, so do what you want to go do, but you're not part of us. You'll be chutz l'machaneh. You're chutz l'machaneh. You do what you want to go do, but this is self-evident. Now here's what I'm trying to get to. Over here we have three pages of this Minhag HaShai, where he, I don't know why he's doing this, he's going to call mamash, call Hatara Kula, and he's showing you that according to the Medrash, whenever there are dats in a pasuk and Tameh HaMikra, ignore the dats, ignore the Tameh HaMikra, that's part of Drash, is to take the letters and interpret the words in different ways with different nikudas. Now here's the point I want to make. Nekuda is part of the Messiah. Let me give you an example with Tkiyah Shofar. We're just chazrim in principles that we learned not so long ago. Tkiyah Shofar, the Rabbanim came along and they said an incredible chiddush. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, don't blow the shofar. What? Don't blow the shofar? What are you talking about? Our life is literally on the line. It's Yom HaDin, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason. All the Maori Chazal say that the Tkiyah Shofar is the tool, is the weapon we desperately need to survive the Yom HaDin. And you're telling me that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, not to blow Shofar the first day, Rosh Hashanah, the day that's Daraisa? What, are you kidding? No, we're not kidding. We have the power, because if we're going to let you blow Shofar, you know what's going to happen? You're going to come to carry the Shofar in the streets. Chilul Shabbos. And our determination is that is more damaging for the spiritual makeup of Klal Yisrael than blowing the shofar. Yotzah schoroi behefseidoi if we let you blow the shofar on Shabbos. So don't blow. We have the, don't challenge us, we have the right. We have the right to do so. This is also a me'ein of Eis La'aseh La'Hashem Heferu Torasecha. But here's the condition. There are rules. Eis La'aseh La'Hashem does not give Chazal a blanket heter to take out the weapon and do with it whatever they want. Does not give them that right. They must leave over a remnant, a she'edis, where the halacha will always be observed. And so why are they allowed to tell us not to blow shofar on Shabbos in a particular year? Because in all of the other years, you will blow shofar on the first day, Rosh Hashanah. So if it comes out every 3, 4, 5 years that it comes out on Shabbos, so this year we're going to tell you not to blow shofar because we're going to blow. Well, the second day is not really going to the Rabbanah, but we're going to blow on all the other years. So it's not a complete annulment of a mitzvah. Okay, give you another example. What about this is very controversial. Are you allowed to lend a guy, a non-Jew, money, ribis, with interest? So it says explicitly in the Torah, it says, Asanochri Sashech. So there are opinions that say that you should not even lend as a siyog, the same way you don't lend to a Jew money with ribis, do not lend to a goy with ribis. Because if you can lend to a goy with ribis, you're going to come to lend a Jew with ribis. And everyone gets up and says, you can't do that. You can't even have a hava mina because you cannot be mevatel something in the Torah entirely. You can't cancel. You have to, even if you want to make a takana, for whatever the reason being, but you can't completely cancel something entirely 100% that the Torah permits. The Torah tells you to do. Now let's now go back to our sugya of Torah Shebal Peh. It would appear that with regard to Torah Shebal Peh, Chazal completely canceled the halacha that you're not allowed to write, put in words on paper, Torah Shebal Peh. Everything goes. What does not go? That's not true. There is one Hechatimsa where you're not, even today, in this generation, the secular year, 2021, you're not allowed to put on paper Torah Shebal Peh. And what is that? The Nekudos in a Sefer Torah. When you take out a Sefer Torah from the Aron and you read the Sefer Torah, if someone would come, believe this is a Shulchan Aruch, put even one dot in the Sefer Torah to indicate this is the way you're supposed to read the word, okay, Bereshis, under the shin, you put a dot. So the person needs to know that it's not Bereshos, Bereshos, you should know it's Bereshis, one little teeny dot under the shin, that this is the way you read the word, the Sefer Torah is posel.
Why?
Because it doesn't belong there. You're not allowed to do that. The dot is Torah Shebal Peh. And Torah Shebal Peh, you're not allowed to write, put in writing Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh remains Bal Peh. It's not allowed to be put on paper. Putting that one dot in the Sefer Torah under the shin, or any dot in the whole Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah is mamash posel, and you cannot make a bracha on it.
We can do that on a Megillah.
Megillah is different. Megillah.
You're allowed to write it, but the Sefer Torah will be.
Not a Sefer Torah. Right. You're allowed to write Chumash on a Tanakh, on a Chumash. Of course, on paper. But not in the Sefer Torah. Not a Sefer Torah that you use for Kriya Satorah.
Okay.
Oh, but it's Torah Shebal Peh. No, but it's Torah Shebal Peh. It's you have the word Bereshis. The Bereshis is the Torah Shebichsav. And the dots is the Torah Shebal Peh. The dots.
Not
in Sefer Torah.
Rashi on Sefer Torah.
Correct. That's an even bigger expansion of it. Right. The Sefer Torah that you read from has to be pure, even though when you're reading it, when the Baal Kriya gets up to read, he is teaching Torah Shebal Peh. Because when he pronounces the word Bereshis, and not Bereshos, or whatever you'll do, whatever, Ye'ochel, Yochel, okay, all the words which you can really read many different ways, he's teaching the Tzibur, this is, the Ksav is, Yud Aleph Chof Lamed, and I'm teaching you that the way we pronounce it is Yochel, not Ye'ochel, or Ye'ochel and not Yochel, whatever the situation is. That is Torah Shebal Peh, and if you put those dots in the Sefer Torah, you've taken Torah Shebal Peh, and you've put it in writing, you are in violation of Al Pi HaDvarim Ho'ele Korati Itchem Bris Dvarim Shebal Peh I Atore Shai Li Kosev. Torah may not be put in writing. So here we have the rule. Even though Chazal came along and they applied the principle, they took out their weapon of Eis Lasoi Slashem when the times demand. Unusual circumstances, they are permitted to cancel Kavi Yochel a mitzvah. They are never, ever, ever permitted to cancel a mitzvah entirely. They must leave over a she'edis, a remnant
of that mitzvah that has an application somewhere in life. They can cancel a mitzvah generally, but there must be an application, and otherwise they can't do anything. So when it came to Torah Shebaal Peh, they permitted one to put into writing Torah Shebaal Peh, and we have today the Mishnah and the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, all the way down to the art school edition of Rashi. Well, everything that can possibly be written is written, but there has to still be an application of where Torah Shebaal Peh cannot be put in writing. And where is that found? It's found in the Sifrei Torah, in the Sefer Torah that we read on Shabbos and the weekday when you make a bracha. There it is categorically forbidden to put in that Sefer Torah even one dot of Torah Shebaal Peh. Ad Kedei Kach the Sefer Torah will be pasul, and you will not be allowed to make a bracha on it. So here, we're pointing this out because this Mincha Shai is elaborating. He's telling us a fascinating rule, a chilik between the Targum, and here he's focusing on the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, and I would imagine if this is true for Tertus Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, al achas kam v'kam, it's true for Targum Ungulus, which really is a very powerful idea, because Targum Ungulus, you always have to check if the Targum Ungulus is consistent with the Tameh HaMikra and the Nikudos. The Targum Yonason ben Uziel and the Targum Unkelis must. This is their self-imposed rules, or this is the Mesorah. When they translate the words of the Pasuk, they must follow the tradition, the Mesorah, of what are the correct Nekudos. What are the correct Nekudos, the correct vowels, and what are the correct Ta'ameh HaMikra. They must. This is a rule, an ironclad rule, etched in stone. Their translation must be consistent. They can translate, they can explain, but it must be consistent with the Nidats, which is the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Ta'ameh HaMikra, which is also Torah Shebaal Peh. However, the Medrash Agadah, and the Talmud, when they expound Psukim, they are not limited. When they make their drashos, they are permitted. It is a part of the Mesorah Drash. They are permitted to expound the words of Tanakh without following the vowels and the Tameh HaMikra. And the Mincha Shai, to prove his point, has given us only 100 examples at least, which I don't even know one of. He goes through the whole Kalat HaRakula, gives you all the examples of where we find where the Gemara don't read the word like this, read it like this. Don't put the comma over here, put the comma over there. And that brings out a principle in Judaism which becomes the bread and butter for Klal Yisrael. And he only gives 100 examples. That's what the Gemara is permitted to do, and that is what the Medrash Agadah is permitted to do, but the Targum cannot do that. It is usur. And he illustrates this with Rashi. Rashi is unbelievable because Rashi quotes the Targum, and Rashi says the Targum, it's a very nice pshat, but you're wrong because you violated the Tameh HaMikra. And then Rashi goes on to quote a Medrash, and Rashi says it's beautiful, this Medrash, but the Medrash did exactly the same thing. The Medrash also violated the Tameh HaMikra. So the Mincha Shai explains the Rashi, because when it comes to the Targum is not allowed to violate the Tameh HaMikra. But the Medrash is allowed to violate the Tameh HaMikra. That's why Rashi only is critical of the Targum, and he's not critical of the Medrash, even though they do exactly the same thing. Because the Targum has its rules, and the Medrash has its own set of rules. And he loads up on his ammunition of 5 pages here to tell you. Now I want to read the last part, the last words of the this Mincha Shai is on page 889. On the left side of the Mincha Shai, can you see over here Pasuk Tezayin? Again, page 889 in the Mincha Shai, towards the bottom of the page, this Pasuk Tezayin. Now go up before Pasuk Tezayin. Go up a couple of them. This is where he winds down. After giving you 100 examples of where Chazal, they violate these rules, because that's what their purpose is, he concludes here with these words. Darshu, it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 lines before Pasuk Tezayin. On page 889, 8 lines before Darshu Diroshois Hanirois Bischilas Hadas
Zorois Me'od. They, Chazal, these are very important words, they expound Droshos that appear.
What's your first impression?
Your first impression, this is very strange. What the Droshos that Chazal expound, your first impression appeared to be bizarre. Darshu Droshos Hanirois that appear Betchilas Hadas, when your first reading appeared to be what? Everyone has this reaction. When you learn a piece of Gemara, and the Gemara takes a pasuk, and you have to break your teeth translating the pasuk, you go to the side of the Baruch Hashem today, you know, all the new Gemaras, they have on the side of the page the whole pasuk. In the olden days, they didn't have that. Everyone remembers. The olden days, they just told you where the pasuk was. I don't know, did they even tell you the pasuk? They told you the perek. They told you the perek. So you had to go take out, and oh, they didn't have such nice prints those days. You had to go take out from go and climb up on a chair, blow off the dust on a sefer and a navi, and then go to the perek. Didn't tell you the pasuk, and you had to go to the whole perek, find the pasuk, and then take a magnifying glass to look through the mitzvahs David to understand what the pasuk was refers to. You break your head to understand what, now I understand the pasuk, the pshat. And then you go back to the Gemara, and the Gemara says the most bizarre things you ever heard before. What? What is the Gemara saying? That's not what the pasuk says. Yeah, because the Gemara is taking this pasuk, it's ignoring the vowels and the Tami HaMikra, and it's putting in its own version, and it's coming to make a drasha that appears to be very bizarre. That's what he says. You see, the Mincha Shai is very honest with us. He's not coming to pull anything over our head. He says, Darshu drashas hanirois betchilos adas zorois me'od. Very strange drashas. Hey mitzat ho'inyon. Sometimes the concepts could not be further than what it says. Hey mitzat hanukudois ve'ho'isiois. They're manipulating the vowels. And they're even, sometimes it appears
the
even
letters.
They're switching letters around, or they're adding letters, molly v'choser, the ein suffix. So he says over here, if you're an Orthodox Jew and you have emuna, then you should know. You have no doubt. See, this is where, you know, you separate the men from the boys. People who are faithful, you know, the Gemara is not on trial. I love that mashal that I told you about the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa, the guy who goes to the museum. This is the Mona Lisa. Where is the Mona Lisa? In Italy? Somewhere? In some museum?
France?
In France. France. And you go there, and you look at, they go, and the guy comes, and this, how much is the Mona Lisa worth? How much does it sell for today? Priceless, right? There's no, you can't even put a price in it. Guy comes there, and he's looking and looking, and he says, I don't see what's so special. What's the big deal? This is priceless? I know some artists back at home in Flatbush, they're very good, you know, on Coney Island, you give them a picture, they can do a portrait.
I can do it paint by numbers.
I don't see what the chokhmah here is about the Mona Lisa. I don't get it. So the curator says to the fellow, excuse me, sir, the Mona Lisa is not on trial. It's not on trial. You are on trial. If you appreciate it, it means you have talent, you have chokhmah, you see the godness, the greatness in the Mona Lisa. If you don't see the greatness of the Mona Lisa, it means you're a failure. You're a nobody. The Mona Lisa is not on trial. You are on trial. If you can appreciate the greatness of what you're seeing in front of you. It's the same thing. You go through a Gemara, and the Gemara takes a pasuk, and the Gemara is not on trial. The Gemara is not on trial. You are on trial. If you don't understand the godless of what Chazal are doing in this pasuk, you got the problem. Not the Gemara. That's where you separate the men from the boys. And it says, even though in a Hanami, he says,
When they say, Ma Hashem Elokecha Doresh Mimcha, Me'a, where is the Aleph? They added an Aleph in the pasuk.
Very good, right. They add the Aleph.
No, Mimcha is Gemat.
Mo Hashem. Mo Al Tikri, Mo Elo Me'a.
It's Me'a.
No, it's not Mimcha. The Gemara says Mo Al Tikri, Mo Elo Me'a.
Mea, 100. 100 brachas. So he words over here are very powerful words. He's very honest. He's brutally honest. You see, today, if someone would write this today, they would be put in chayrim. I'm telling you, if someone would write, look what he writes. Darshu drashos haniros b'tchilas hadas that appear at first impression, like Michal said, zorois me'od. Chazal are very bizarre. For someone even today, even to say those words about Chazal, you're in chayrim, get out of here. All your shaduchim prospects are out the window. You're done. But the mincha shai, what?
Cover his mouth. Say that perhaps Yonas and Ben Zil, what made him as great as he was, yeah, was the greatest Talmud of Hillel. That's what the Gemara says, right? From the 80 Talmud.
Right.
Because to prove his point, it was a self-imposed, because his Rebbe Hillel did that. He made a prusbul. He did other things, like I said, with Karban Pesach on Shabbos, Erev Pesach Shabbos. Various things. He did do these things, provided everything was worded properly. And so, to prove that we don't have the ability to do it, he imposed a self-imposed restriction on himself to do this, to prove a point, and that's what made him so great.
Because he limited himself.
To prove a point.
Okay, in Hanami. So here he writes, Dorsh Dorsh Hanivas Mitchilas Adat Zoris Me'od. Very bizarre. But you have to have emuna. The Gemara is not on trial. Chazal are not on trial. We're on trial. The ain't sofik. Ki kol divrei chachomenu zichroinim lezocha. Bachochma ho elyoina ne'emodim. It doesn't say Kabbalah. It doesn't say over here, spooky stuff. He says there's an incredible wisdom. And if you don't understand the wisdom, it's your problem, not their problem. With wisdom, they are more precious than gold and the fine, the two different types of gold, most fine gold, they are more precious. Their words are true, penetrating truth and uprightness. There is nothing in this world that can match the value of the words of Chazal. Kimosha Kosa Besefer Be'er Hagoyla Be'er Shlishi. The Maral.
Okay,
a shout out to Ramachal.
The reason that he wrote the Be'er Hagoyla was to counter the critics of the Talmud. So he gives you a number of examples of Chazal that seem very weird, and he gives his explanation to counter those arguments.
You see, we're very chash v'shir here. We have someone who is the reincarnation of the Maral, Amichol. We have someone who's the reincarnation of the Abarbanel, Remayevsky. And we have someone who's the reincarnation of the Arizal, Meir.
And of
a spook.
Bill
of
Donkey.
I gave him much for a compliment.
Bill of
a spook. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further. MS Vyosha Vakol Khafatsa Yushabram. Kumoisha Kasa the same way I go to the Shrishi, the Ain Oid Masha Kasafi, the Zacharias and Dalit, the Al the Guloh, the Yeshai Lamnav, the Al, the Estivarov, Lohi, Sir. I don't understand why he's saying that. He didn't give enough examples. He didn't write enough. He has to have more examples. Okay, Al Achapes, Gokhaela Rabba, Ad Ain Mispa. There's no limit to the number of examples you find in this principle. Ashola Yusafi, Murov. You can't even count them, there are so many. Okay, that concludes this case, this Mincha Shai. These last words are the key words. Okay, the beginning of the Mincha Shai, he told us a beautiful Yesoi, a Chilinton Targumin, and Mamari Chazal, and the end, these are very beautiful, classical words to hang up in the shul or put up on a sign. Chazal are not on trial. We are on trial. Okay, let's now go further. Let's move further. What time is it? Let's do just a drop. Pasuk Tezayin. This is where we're after. We have really one more pasuk in this section. And the pasuk here, we get in Risky Sonation. This is really a conclusion of this section.
How did this whole thing start? What was the bizarre thing that
with Rashi. This whole thing started with Rashi quotes the Targum, and then Rashi quotes a Drash. And Rashi criticizes the Targum
because the Targum violated the Tamei HaMikra. He connected the word, he connected two words, the word Moho Echad with the word Mivakesh, when the Tamei HaMikra separated it. And then Rashi quotes a Drash that does exactly the same thing in a different context. So the Mincha Shai is the question on Rashi. Rashi, what are you doing? When it comes to the Targum, you criticize the Targum because the Targum broke the rules. But when you proceed to say a Drash, you don't criticize the Drash. But they both violated the same exact rule. So the Mincha Shai answers, that's exactly the point of Rashi. That the Targum Yonasan is required to follow the rules. But the Drash, the Agada, is not required to follow the rules. And he cites 100 examples where you find the different Agada violate the rules. And that's his point. And his point.
That's the point, because the Targum is back in the Sora.
Well, the Targum is giving a translation. But it's a little more than that. The Targum, especially Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, very often embellishes the Pasuk with Divrei Agada. See, that's why he's chopping the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel and the Talmud are very similar. They both draw from Divrei Agada. They take Divrei Agada. They say these very strange things. Look, it says, "Vo'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim." So what did the Targum Yonasan there say? That the night of Pesach, Hashem took the whole Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and they sat the Eid of Pesach, and then when they were finished, Hashem brought the Mecca, returned fight to Mitzrayim. I mean, what does that mean? This is not Pshut Shel Mikra, this is spooky stuff. Okay? So the Targum does all the time, Targum Yonasan, all the time. He always injects the translation of the Pasuk with Divrei Agada. And what does the Medrash Agada do? Does the same thing. So what then is the difference between the Medrash Agada and the Targum Yonasan? The Targum Yonasan, when he embellishes Divrei Agada, he follows the rules. He translates the words according to the tradition, according to the Mesorah, with the exact, precise Nikudos. And he follows the breakpoints in the Pasuk of when you're supposed to pause and when you come to a complete stop. But the Medrash Agada goes further. It does not follow the rules. It puts its own vowels into the words, and it connects words and it separates words. So they're both giving you Divrei Agada, but they're giving you Divrei Agada differently. One is following the rules, and one is not following the rules. That's the principle, the yesod of the Mincha Shai. This is his yesod. He proves it from this Rashi, where Rashi quotes a Targum and quotes Divrei Agada, who both violate the same exact rule, and Rashi only criticizes the Targum and says the Medrash is beautiful. That's not fair. Well, yes, it is. When you know this yesod, then you understand why it is fair. He brings it out, and at the end of the Mincha Shai, we have these eight lines, which are as a classic. The way he describes, when you learn the Daf Gemara, the Daf Gemara is not on trial. You are on trial. If you don't understand something, it's because you don't understand the Chochma Nifla, the Divrei Emes, the Divrei Yosher. It's your problem, not the Gemara's problem. Okay, now let's now go further very quickly. This is just a teeny drop. This pasuk really concludes. We touched upon this pasuk.
Did you say that the Targum has to follow the rules?
The very beginning. All the way back. We have to go further. The very beginning. Pasuk Tez Vav, on page 884. That short paragraph, one little paragraph. 884, Mincha Shai, Pasuk Tez Vav. Pasuk Tez Vav. 884. Okay, now we're going back to page 888. 3 8s. 888. Ki sonei shalach. So we already learned before that there are two ways to translate these words. Either it means that the woman, your first wife, you hate her. You hate her. And because who is the subject of the word sonei? Who is hated? So we learned that it refers to the person's first wife. That's one interpretation. And the other interpretation is, the husband, you are hated by Hashem because of what you have done by dismissing your first wife. So the word soneh can either refer to the woman, or it can refer to the husband. And we'll see in a moment, the medrash, and what's the difference? The difference is zivug rishon, zivug sheni. If a person dismisses his first wife, zivug rishon, the eshes ne'urecha, that makes him into a sonne. But if he dismisses the second wife, the zivug acharon, so you can't call him a sonne. You can't say that what he did was something that he's hated. It's a different tikkun in a person's life. It's a different situation. Then he is not hated, but he's still criticized because he sent away. Because he did send away a person. Okay, there's different levels of sin. Let's see the pasuk. Ki sonei shalach amar Hashem elokei Yisrael v'chisocha mos al levusho, and he has covered the chamas, the violence. The chamas can mean many things. It can mean theft. It can mean violence. We'll see in a moment. Al levusho, he covered it upon his clothing. Amar Hashem tzivakos, and again Hashem repeats himself. He will,
injustice.
He covers up the injustice. Al levusho, upon his garments. We'll see what that means in a moment. And then there is a repetition. We had this expression already before. And again, Hashem repeats himself. He repeats this. Don't tell me that I'm a muchrach. This is how Hashem made me. I'm just following orders. The Yetzer Hara gives orders. I'm following orders. That's the excuse we all have. We come on the Yom HaDin. What do you say to Hashem? What do you want from me? I got a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara has a 13-year head start. Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'odam Ra Min Uraf. The Yetzer Tov first shows up when I'm bar mitzvah. He doesn't got a chance. You can't catch up 13 years. I don't got a chance. So when I do an Aveira, what do you want? I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with taiva. I can't help myself. I'm a muchrach. Who said this excuse? This is what Amalek, Agag. Agag was the one, that was his defense. His defense was, he can't do anything to me. I'm a muchrach. I'm an oines. I'm in chains. I'm a person who's bound in chains. The Yetzer Hara has tied me up, and I'm just following orders. I'm following orders. The age-old excuse, the Nazis, the Nuremberg trials. Following orders. So in Malachi, this is Mamash, and you're serving Judaism. That excuse is pathetic. It's not true. There's no excuse. Hashem was Yoyre L'Zerdaita Shel Adam. If you want to survive, you'll find a way to overcome him, even though he is more powerful. That we're not denying. No one is denying that the forces of evil are greater than the forces of good. All the cartoons that we've watched as children is very misleading. They really are. All of these superhero shows, they show children because they present in the superhero shows that the forces of good are stronger than the forces of evil. At the end of the day, okay, maybe right, maybe not anymore. Now, crazy world we're living today. But when I was a kid, Superman, at the end of the day, Lex Luthor is gone. Superman always prevails. And Batman, Robin's... What? Okay, but that's the way we grew up. Superman always comes out on top, and Batman and Robin always come out on top. They always win, because the presentation is that the force of evil are stronger than the force of good are stronger and better. This is sheker. This is complete sheker. The Torah Chazal say explicitly that it's sheker. The koichos of Ra are stronger, more powerful, more intense than the forces of good. And so how is it ever possible in this world to overcome the force of evil? It is natural to succumb to the force of Ra, of evil. The Gemara says, had in the Daf, Mamish, 2-3 days ago, Ilmole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizroi E F Sharloi. If not for Siyata Deshmaya, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepping in to the situation and granting you a unique, special salvation, Siyata Deshmaya, you would lose. That's Hanukkah. It was Rabim Biyad Na'atim, Tmeim Biyad Tohirim.
Yiboyrim b'yad chaloshim, zeidim b'yad oskei sorasecha. Each one of those expressions is in al derech hateva. There's rabin, there are zeidim, there are giboyrim. These all align with wickedness. And the forces of good don't have a chance. The only way is tefillah siyata d'shmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and he does something that is l'mala miderech hateva, whether it's mamish in science, l'mala miderech hateva, or hashkacha, Purim, hashkacha. Even though you're weak, but if you can find the Achilles heel, you find a vulnerability. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what that vulnerability is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges everything for you to prevail. This is a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish perspective of dealing with the force of good and bad. And all of these, and all the entertainment industry, today it's probably a different world, but at least when we grew up, the entertainment industry for children presented, you know.
Because it was mostly Jews, right, who created superheroes. Yes, and it was close to World War II, and they stood for the values of patriotism and against the forces of the Nazis.
Today,
and
it's very
that
dark.
Was a major influence.
Today, it's a very dark.
It's
a very dark type of world today.
Is there any reason why Hashem created the world this way? You'll have to ask.
I'm serious.
That's a very easy, easy question to answer. Like I heard about Ethan Feiner. He said he was the whole day, he had a day, his schedule was to go to a bridge, to go to a whole series of events the entire day from beginning to end. So his wife says to him, oh, you don't need, I don't have to prepare anything for you to eat. You're going to a bris, you're going to a picking up band, you're going to a dinner, you're going to this event. The whole day you're going to have, don't eat too much. Don't get fat. Don't eat too much. The whole day you're going to 10 events and every event is food. So he goes to the bris, and someone chaps him and talks to him, asks him all these shameless. Before he turns around, he misses all the food, no food. He goes to this, the whole day goes by. He finally comes to a dinner at night. Rabbi, I have just a short question, Rabbi. Very, 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 very simple question. Why do bad things happen to good people? And the punchline was he came home and said, I didn't eat one morsel of food the entire day. So what? You went to a bris, a pinyin aben, a luncheon, a dinner, a this and a that. No, every second, wherever I go, they bombard me with duties and obligations, and you have to speak to this person. I didn't need a thing the whole day. Okay, let's go further. So you're asking why Hashem make the world that way? I don't know. You gotta ask Hashem. Okay, let's look. Let's just look at the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David pasuk tes vav ki sonei shalach im sonei so oisa ad shloi tucha lahatois ritzoncha elohava shalach oisa v'garsha. If you cannot, now he's saying according to the Mitzudos David, it seems that he's saying over here practical. Malachi is saying if you don't get along with your wife, im sonei so oisa ad shloi tucha lahatois ritzoncha elohava. If you really can't. You really can't, the marriage is irreparable, then in a chanami. What do you say? Shalach isa v'garsha. V'sinase la'acher, marry someone else, asher timsachem de'enach. V'chisa, ritzon lomar, o yichase hechamos alavushoi, mima'al, what does that mean? Chilomar, lo yastir hechamos tachas l'mushoi. Do not hide, as you said, the injustice under your clothing, don't hide it. Shetehen yishto yoshem es tachta v'liboy balima. He's saying some marriage counseling advice. I would be very scared, you know, this type of stuff. He's saying is you have to be very honest with your wife. Live a very, very open relationship with your wife. And if you're going to have secrets between yourself and your wife, it's ultimately not going to be good. If you want to stay married, at least you have to control yourself. Go for counseling. But what's the point here? The point is the end of the pasuk. V'loy Sivgoidu bohen la sois lachan elbon bekachas lein noshim nochlius. Okay, this is the Mitzudois David approach. Obviously, it's a very controversial type of concept here. And of course, today's day and age is a whole different world, whole different ball game. And of course, there are lessons to learn. But he understands this, is that what are the people doing? They have remained married to their first wife, and they've taken a second wife. And the second wife is a shiksa, non-Jewish woman. So the Navi is saying this is the worst of the worst. If you don't want to stay married to your first wife, we understand. There is something in the Torah called divorce. The Torah was very kind, because by other religions you see this principle where there is no divorce. Okay? Catholics, there's no divorce. Okay, there's no divorce. But today it's a joke, because today you can get divorced anyway, even though there's no divorce. Annulment. Come on, that's not, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, 10 kids and they get annulment with 11 plans.
Come on, what does that mean? It's a joke. This goes to show the whole
movement.
It goes to show the whole movement is bankrupt. But he's saying here, the Torah gave a koyach. It's a very, very deep thing. And a lot of people talk about this concept, and they love the people into this. They talk about this. Is the Torah created such a thing called divorce? And there are times when it's called for. And here the Navi is saying there are times that it's called for, and that's what should be done. But to go and to remain married in a marriage that is not working, and then to satisfy your taiva, your natural person, a healthy person needs to be married, to go and take a non-Jewish woman, that is not a solution. That is not proper. Because what are you doing to your first wife? You are humiliating her. You are abusing her. And that is not accepted. According to the system, the possibility is in Sane. If you've come to the conclusion that your marriage is just not possible, it's not repairable, so shalach! So send her out. The Torah permits divorce. Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. But v'chisa chamas al levushay, Amar Hashem Tzivakos. Now the way he learns this is, or read the words, we're talking about, o yichaseh chamas al levushay mimal kelaymar, lo, don't hide it. Don't make believe what's not true. Lo yaster hechamas tachas levushay shehein yishto yoshem tachta bal leima. The Pasuk doesn't say tachas. According to the Mitzvah Shabbat, the key word here is the word al, not tachas. Don't remain in a marriage where you're fooling your wife. You're having an affair, and you come home, everything is fine and good. That would be called v'chisa chomos tachas levusha. Don't remain married for show. Oh, you see, I'm married to this nice woman, and because you're bal taiva, so secretly you go and you do things with another woman. Don't do that. The end is going to be, it's going to become public, it's going to explode, it's going to be a churban gadol. Instead, present the issues to your wife, go for counseling, and see if there is a solution. Work on it. And if there is no solution, then go back to the beginning of the pasuk, soneh, shalach. Don't live a life of a double life. Don't, that's the worst thing, is to have a double life. In public, yeah, like this. And in private, it's a churban. The chisa, what you should do is to cover the chamas, the injustice, al levushoy. And the Mitzvah says there's no real way to literally translate these words. It doesn't make any sense. To cover the chamas, al levushoy, it's an expression in order to bring out a point. What it really should say is v'chisa chamas tachas levusha. And he's saying over here, don't do that. And the way the pasuk poetically says don't live a double life is it takes what a double life is. A double life is called covering the injustice tachas levusha, and it takes one word and it transforms it, the opposite, to tell you don't live a double life. It's an expression. That's why the Mitzvah study says koloimar. There's no way to literally translate these words and make sense out of it.
So you have to know what the pasuk really is trying to say. It's really trying to say v'chisochamos tachas levusho, and that means you cover your injustice under your clothing. You are phony. You are faker. You're a hypocrite. You live a double life. That's what it means under your garments. And now the pasuk is trying to tell you, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be a faker. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a phony. Instead, deal with it. Take the bull by its horns. Go for counseling. Go to the rabbi. Go to a therapist. Go to this. Go to that. Deal with the situation. And the way it expressed that idea is lechitza chamas al levusho. Let it hang out in public. Amar Hashem tzivokas. V'nishmartem biruchachem. Or he's saying over here is, if there are issues that you're able to resolve and it requires a lot of work, anger management, patience, then work on it. V'nishmartem biruchachem. But at the end of the day, there is no excuse to abuse your spouse. There's the loy siv goidu. It's powerful stuff. Malachi was a marriage counselor. He was the top of the line. He was the inventor of this multi-billion-dollar industry. Not a billion, but multi-billion-dollar industry. He should get a commission for every counselor. Should send him a couple of bucks. Be a rich man for inventing this marriage counseling industry. Okay, we'll take a very short break, and we'll do some halacha. We'll do some halacha, some basic halachas for Rosh Hashanah. We're winding down. Birat Hashem, Rosh Hashanah is
Monday night.
So it's really our last shiur. We'll learn on Sunday, unfortunately. And Monday, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to have a shiur on Monday. So today and tomorrow are our last 2 days of Shnas Tov Shin Pei Aleph. So we're going to wind down with some halacha. Okay.
You know what this is? A new invention.
When
we do Birchas Habonim, we have a special here.
I never saw this before.
A new invention.
Mit Malchus?
Huh?
Birchas Habonim mit Malchus.
Malchus is a company that sells in
Tapalik.
That's
This year, 2 days ago, a bunch of the circuit came caught one of the Dayanim and they got a half as big. They caught it. They picked up a rub of Deida Charega. They cut his beard.
Who did this?
The wild guy, the circuit, the not cases, the cut on.
Why did he do it?
Because he gives two happens that they thought was one of coolers. He is matter a certain filter that they use in the Mikvah in Zubnik, which it is. So, number two is with the Shemita, he allows you to feed the animals, Sikhim, without all kinds of animals. So because they didn't agree with him, everyone's yelling, bloody murder, what kind of, the Eidech Haredah, and Shaul is saying, you know, you do this to other guys, they came back.
He's a criminal, so
I'm saying the Chumra is that. So he also, we have a new Chumra.
I always think about it, 100 years from now, you're going to see in pomegranates, they're going shopping, a mother and a daughter are going shopping in pomegranates, and they're wearing masks. The daughter says, Mommy, why do we wear a mask so we go shopping? I don't know.
So everybody can make fun of that.
Anyone want canned food over here? You want the what?
You have one?
What do you want?
Tuna.
I have salmon. You want salmon?
I'll take one.
Okay. I'll get you another one. I have it in my locker.
You want to honor? You can put it tomorrow.
You have the thing you used to have the
yes, friend.
You have one, yeah.
One up the other.
Maybe it did, I never found it.
All right.
Cup out.
I brought it to the cup out. But today, you brought it to time already.
I do remember asking you. You were here. Were you awake?
Yeah.
Your name?
Kate May.
Oh yeah, you said you could have
broken
it. You broke it?
What?
You broke it?
Of course. 3 hours.
That's it?
Yeah. Big sound.
Where did you park it? Oh, so you get in the cabanas?
Oh, come on.
It's gotta be in the cabanas. The bathroom, no?
Oh, come on.
It's beautiful, right? You didn't have the store.
We had blackout. Monday night or Wednesday night, I forgot it was the blackout for about an hour.
Why?
The whole town was dark because the lightning and thunder was staggering. One of the lifeguards was killed. He must have been wearing a belt buckle that the metal. I lost the front light. And Jane Beale, way back in mid 65, 66. He's still in the camp deal. He's playing basketball.
Did you get flooded?
The house?
Yeah. No. Yes, the basement. My son.
No. I got flooded.
Yeah?
I mean,
it wasn't much. It was there.
No, I didn't have much.
Because the park is flooded, the shoe in Queens, they got flooded.
Yeah,
it's a basement. You know which one it is?
No. I'll tell you where it's always prompted. I put it in down the steps. They always have it.
I saw the videos. My son, he had a fish I told him, should I get the crabs?
You know, in the Midwest, they house the basement at the outlets actually fall off the ground.
That makes sense.
Of course, every winter when the snow melts, it's flooding.
In Far Rockaway, good steady, any new house has to be built to go around
there.
I'm going to read a sign that says, I have those cards, so you're going to do your cards on the same.
Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. Moirai and Rabbi Sai, let's learn some halacha from Rosh Hashanah.
You know, Sid could turn it off. You know, yeah.